Well, good morning, fellowship. I want to say good morning to everybody in the Edge, in the chapel, Benton, Cabot, everybody that may be watching us online. We sure are glad that you're with us today. I got to thinking a little bit this week that the source of our greatest joy in life is oftentimes also the source of our greatest pain in life. And that's people, relationships. Think about it. Your most joyful memories in your life involve people, relationships. And your most painful moments in life, maybe even some of your deepest wounds in life, involve people, relationships. And so that's why it's so scary when we think about trying to do life in the church, because the church is relationships, right? I mean, that's what a church is. It's a network of relationships. Today we're talking about community, and community is a network of relationships we belong to. See, church isn't just something we attend. Church is a network of relationships that we belong to. And so as we think about doing life in the church, you have to wrestle with what your involvement is going to be, given the fact that you've been hurt before in relationships. You've got to wrestle with what your involvement's going to be in the church, given the fact that you're going to be connected to this network of relationships filled with imperfect people who might hurt you. And the temptation in this, and by the way, it's a temptation that we all face because we've all been hurt and burned by people in relationships before, the temptation is towards self-protection. It's to avoid community, to avoid relationships, to run from it, to hide, to protect ourselves so that we don't get hurt again. And so we avoid community. See, we live in a culture today that's really good at self-protection, but really bad at relationships. In fact, if you're into sociology at all, we live in a pretty interesting time regarding human relationships. Connectivity is easier now than it's ever been. You can make connections to people more readily and more quickly than you have ever been able to make relationships before. It doesn't require a lot of depth. It can be quick, and you can let people know the most useless and worthless details about your life if you desire. You can go to Outback and order the Bloomin' Onion appetizer and take a picture of that and tweet it out to all of your friends so that they'll be jealous of you, right? And yet, in the face of all of this connectivity, what sociologists are finding and what all of the studies are revealing is that although we are more connected with more people than ever before, we feel more alone and unknown than ever before in human history. Did you know that? And so there's this real challenge that we're experiencing around community and connection with other people. And so something has really gone awry with how we define community and how we're connecting with each other in relationships. And so here at Fellowship, we want to push back against that in our culture today. We value connection. We value people. We value relationships, and we value that because the Bible values that. It's one of the reasons that one of our core values here at the bottom of your bulletin, you'll see, is connection. It's relationships. Because we believe that God does His very best work in us and through us when we're connected together. When we're together. And so last week we started this new series called We is Greater Than Me. And we're going back to Acts chapter 2, which is really the DNA of the early church in Acts chapter 2 is what we see. Which, by the way, should be the DNA of our church, right? And so last week we talked about the importance of the scriptures, of this sacred book, and that we need to center our lives and our church on the Bible. By the way, that's one of the reasons our church is called Fellowship. Let's try this again. Fellowship. Man, we're slow this morning. Fellowship Bible Church. By the way, it sits right in the center of our name. Because the scriptures are why we gather. It's what brings us together. It's what we're about. This isn't a social club. We're here to grow together, to be transformed together, to be connected together. And today we're going to talk about three things. You'll see them there on your outline. We're going to talk about what is community. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. And then we're going to talk about why we don't have it. And then we're going to talk about how do we get it. So community, what is it? Why don't we have it? How do we get it? Acts chapter 2 is where you want to go in your Bible. Acts chapter 2. We're going to pick it up here in just a moment in verse 42. Now, let me set the context for you if you missed last week. Jesus has wrapped up his earthly ministry. He has now ascended back to his Father. And he has left his disciples with a mission. And he has given the disciples power to fulfill this mission called the Holy Spirit. And so God's at work, and we're starting to see this mission gaining some ground, and the church as we know it today is beginning to take shape and form here in Acts chapter 2. And so let's read together Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to follow along here on the screens. But here's what it says. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching," we talked about that last week, "and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." And so as I said here, we see the early stages of the church beginning to take formation. We're seeing the early DNA of the church right here. And last week we talked about the importance of Scripture, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And then we're told that they were in fellowship with one another and breaking bread together. This idea that we are disciples together. We are on mission. It's not our mission. Whose mission is it? It's Jesus' mission. And we're doing this mission together. We're not alone. That we are intended to be in fellowship with one another, in community with one another. And that there's power when we're in relationship with one another. So community, fellowship, what is community? Because in the church, we talk a lot sometimes about community without really talking sometimes about what it is. And we've got to see that when we're talking about community, that community goes all the way back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. And when you go back to Genesis, who is our God? Our God is a triune God, existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see this all the way back in Genesis. And what was God doing before he created? God was enjoying God. That's what God was doing. And so God has existed from the very beginning in fixed community as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together as one, enjoying one another, loving one another, celebrating one another, supporting one another. This is why community is so important, because our God is a God who lives in community. And when you move forward just a little bit in the book of Genesis, what you see is that God created us in His image, in His likeness, depending on the translation that you have. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. We have been made in the very likeness of a relational God. That is why, if we're honest, deep down inside of every one of us, we have this deep, deep longing to be connected to others, to be known and loved. The reason it's so strong, the reason that longing is so strong, is because it comes from God. We've been made in His likeness. We've been created in His image. And so we have this deep longing as people to be connected one to another, to be in relationship with others. And that longing comes from God Himself. See, very early in the pages of Genesis, God looks down on His creation. He's surveying everything that He's created. He says, it's good, it's good, it's good. Go read the account sometime for yourself. Except He says there's one thing that's not good. Do you remember what God said wasn't good about His creation? I'll give you a hint. Genesis 2, verse 18. It is not good for man to be alone. So God looks over all of His creation. He says it's all good, except it's not good for man to be alone. Now here's what's astonishing about this. Sin has not entered the picture yet. And yet there's this need for horizontal community, and so God creates Eve. And of course, they're in perfect community, in harmony with God and with each other, until sin shows up in the picture in Genesis chapter 3. And now all of a sudden, community and relationships on earth are fractured. Relationship with God and with each other is broken. This, by the way, is why even today, community is so hard. It's why relationships are so difficult. It's because sin has tainted our relationships. We're still feeling in our relational world the effects of the fall. Now God, in His mercy, sent His Son Jesus to die for us, to restore us, and bring us back to community with God and with each other. But it's not perfect community. It's not perfect community. It won't be perfect community again until you get to heaven or Jesus comes back, whichever comes first. Then we'll have perfect community again. Now, this book, what this book is, this sacred book, is it's this magnificent, beautiful story of restoration, of us being restored back to God through Jesus, restored back to community with God and with each other. That's what this book is. And when you look at the life of Jesus, he gives us an incredible example about community. And when Jesus did life with people, when he was in community with people, God was always at the center of that relationship. Which, by the way, that is really the secret ingredient to community. That's the secret, putting God at the center of your relationships. That's how you begin to experience the kind of community that the Bible talks about. It's putting God, Jesus, at the center of your relationships. The way you get community is you focus on Jesus. You don't focus on community. You focus on Jesus. And if Jesus is our central focus, not community, our central focus is always Jesus. And as our central focus is Jesus, community will come. We'll find community as Jesus is our central focus. And this is why Jesus entered into relationships with different kinds of people. You see Jesus entering into relationship with prostitutes. And you see Jesus entering into relationship with self-righteous religious leaders. And in both of those situations, he put God at the center. And that's why these different people were able to come together into community, into relationship one with another, because God was at the center. Grace was at the center. And the vision that the Bible has is that the local church is supposed to be the place where we experience the very best community. Supposed to be where life is exciting, where there is the greatest love, where there is the greatest amount of grace, where there is the most growth in life change in your life and in my life. That's the picture of community in the Bible. That this would be the kind of place that we would grow together and serve together and be changed together as God works in and through us, as Jesus sits at the center of our relationship with each other. We would experience true community with one another. So that's what community is. It starts all the way back, but before Genesis. It starts with God, and we see that playing out, and Jesus shows up to restore that community, to bring us back into community with God and with each other. And God uses community to change us, to shape us into the men and women that he calls us to be. So that's what community is. Now, let's talk about why we don't have it. Why don't we have community? I mean, if that's what it is, why don't we have it? Now, there's a long list of reasons why we might not experience community, but I want to talk just for a moment about two that I think sit at least at the top of this list. One of them is this: we're just afraid of community. We're afraid of it because community relationships are hard. We're afraid because people are messy. People are messy. We're afraid because people can hurt us, because we've been hurt before, because people are going to challenge us, and because relationships are just hard and messy. And by the way, community will always be messy because people are messy. And so because we've been hurt and burned before in relationships, we say, you know what, I don't want to go through that again. I think this is perhaps one of the greatest inhibitors to us experiencing community. And so what we do instead is we choose to go about life in a way that Jesus never intended, alone, without community, because we've been hurt before by people, messy people. I want you to think about this. Jesus could have gone at life alone. He could have done his life and his ministry all alone, but he chose to do his life and ministry in the context of the messiness of community, of people, primarily with 12 disciples, 12 men. And if you're here today, and maybe you've been burned and hurt by relationships before, and so you're afraid of jumping back into relationships and community, well, know this, Jesus was burned and hurt by relationships too. Man, he surrounded himself with some messy people, didn't he? And he got hurt. He got burned. He invested his life in 12 men. One of those guys, one of those disciples named Judas, betrayed him, turned his back on him. This is a guy that he had loved and cared for and invested in for 3 years. And by the way, all the other disciples, in one way or another, failed Jesus too in his hour of greatest need. So Jesus understands and knows about the messiness of doing life with people and the hurt that can be involved in that, but he also knows the fruit, the benefit, the joy that can come as we do community with each other. Now, it's not just the messiness of other people that sometimes keeps us away from community. Sometimes it's our own messiness, right? We're afraid because we're messy. And we don't want people knowing our mess, our imperfections, our sin. We don't want people knowing the real us. And so what we do is we hide. We avoid community because we're afraid that people might not accept us or love us if they really got to know the real you and the real me. Listen, friends, I struggle with this sometimes in my own life. As a pastor and leader, I'm called to live up to a higher standard in my life. And I desire to live by that higher standard. But I also know that I'm imperfect and that I struggle with sin. And sometimes I speak way too harshly to my wife and my kids. Sometimes I drive too fast down Chenal Parkway. Listen, I try not to, but it's so tempting, right? Sometimes I judge people in my mind and my heart, and I think I'm better than they are. And all too often, I'm facing these things in my life, and I'm doing it alone. And by God's grace, I'm trying to fight that sin and so much more back in my life, but all too often I'm doing that alone. And I'm doing it alone sometimes because I'm afraid that if people got to know the real me, they might not love me or accept me. See, I need community just like you need community. I need people who will love me and encourage me and, man, challenge me and care for me. We all need community. And one of the things that sometimes sends us in the other direction is just the mess in our own lives. It keeps us from it. Because we're afraid of it. We're afraid of messy people and we're afraid of our own mess. I think another problem is this. It's what I call we designer community. We want designer community. Burger King has this slogan, you can have it your way. We want our community, our way. We want to create this designer community that fits perfectly into our lives. We want it our way where it meets all of our needs, where there's no rough edges to it. It's just this perfect little thing. And that's just not the portrait, friends, of community in the Bible. where it's frustrating, it's challenging, it's disappointing, but it's worth it because it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding. You know, we have a problem with consumerism, where all too often we approach the church and we approach community somewhat like we approach buying items for our house. I ran into a guy a while back who was church shopping, and he was describing to me the process that he uses. He's looking for a church in our city. And what he does is he goes around and visits different churches, and he'll visit a church for 4 weeks to see if the church is right for him. And when I talked to him, he had already visited 8 churches. So he had spent 32 weeks or over half a year trying to find the right place. And by the way, he had a list of about 8 to 10 more churches that he needed to check out. Now I want you to hear me. Finding the right church is important. It's critical. Visiting other churches is okay too. But man, it shouldn't take you almost 2 years to find a church, to find a community. See, community is about putting Jesus at the center. And in this paradigm, what this guy's done is he's put himself at the center. It's about finding a place that pleases me, that fits me. It's designer community. To just find a place that is perfect and meets all my needs and wants, where everything will be just the way I want it to be. The problem with that is there's not a church or a community like that. That doesn't exist. As the great preacher Charles Spurgeon said, there's no such thing as a perfect church, because the moment you join that church, it becomes imperfect. Isn't that right? And so we're imperfect people doing life together. And so guess what? It's going to be imperfect community. And what's so beautiful about this, really what's so amazing, is that in and through this imperfect community, God chooses to do His perfect work in you and in me. That's what He does. It's not going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. It's certainly not perfect. It's hard. It's messy at times. But God does His best and greatest work in us when we're connected to one another and we're in community with each other. So how do we get community? How do we get community? We've talked about what it is. We've talked about a couple of reasons that we don't have it. So how do we get it? Well, you get community by committing to it. We have to commit to community. We have to jump in. Listen, some of you are needing to heal. You're coming out of a tough season of relationships. Maybe you're coming out of a tough church experience and you're needing to heal. Maybe your heart has been on lockdown for months, maybe years. And you have just not opened up to the people you don't know. And so you don't know how to give love and you don't know how to receive love. But let me tell you, the only way you're going to heal is in community. You're not going to heal by just hanging out by yourself in the forest and reading poetry to yourself. That's not the way you heal. You have to re-enter. You have to come into relationships again. You have to let people love you. And you have to begin to give love. And here at Fellowship, the main and deepest place where you're going to experience community, the kind of community that I'm talking about, is in a discipleship group, or sometimes we refer to them as D groups. They are the backbone of our church. D groups don't solve anything and everything, but they are the main place where community is happening in our church. D groups are not simply a Bible study. They're not a therapy group. What they are is a group of people in community who are following after Jesus and our church's mission together. That's what a D group or a discipleship group is. It's a group of people in community who are focusing and following after Jesus and our mission as a church together. And we believe what we're doing here is biblical. But because if you move forward from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, what you see is this guy Peter, who was one of Jesus' disciples, he's in the Jewish culture, and there in Jerusalem, he's starting churches and planting churches. And what we're told is that they would gather together in the temple, and then they would meet, the text says, house to house, where they would be in small groups. And that's where community happened and real discipleship happened, in these small groups. And the Apostle Paul did the same thing in the Greek culture. In the city of Ephesus, it says that they met as a church family, somewhat like we're meeting today, and then they met house to house. And so that's what our D groups do. They meet house to house to do life together, to grow together, to be encouraged together, to experience love together, to be cared for together. And so if you're not in a D group today, could I encourage you that maybe today you make a commitment to get into community, into a discipleship group, a D group. Maybe today you would even, after the service, drop by the Connection Center and see one of our pastors or leaders there and let them help you take the step into community and experience the connection that God has for you. If that won't work, here in a couple of weeks, across all of our campuses in the lobby on August the 23rd and August the 30th, in between services, we're going to have a ministry fair. And there'll be actual D group leaders out in the lobby who want to meet you, get to know you, and help you get connected into their group. And we do all of this because we want to help you. If you're not connected into community, we want to help you experience the joy and the growth that can come in and through community. And let me say this too. Finding the right community and finding the right discipleship group sometimes takes multiple trips to the plate. See, I've been in the church a while, and very rarely do you ever come up to the plate and hit a home run when it comes to community. See, community is hard, it's challenging, and you got to keep coming to the plate, and you got to keep swinging the bat, and all of a sudden you're going to discover as you put work into it, as you put time into it, you're going to find community and relationships and connection. Now, I know some of you are scared to death today. I know some of you are afraid of making a commitment to community. You're not sure you want to take that step, but I promise you, if you'll take that step, you'll experience the life-giving thrill of being in community with other people. Now, listen, it's not perfect. It's going to be messy, hard, and frustrating at times, but it's so rewarding. It's worth it. It's worth it. Last summer, we were at Greers Ferry Lake. I know so many of you have been there before. We were there with some friends, and there on the lake, they have these cliffs that you can jump off of into the water. Any of you ever done that before? And the kids saw this, and they got all excited and fired up about it, and they wanted to jump off these cliffs. And so we drove the boat over there and anchored the boat, and they all swam to the bank and climbed up this cliff up to the top. And when they got to the top, what they realized is it's a lot higher than they thought. And so all the little ones, okay, what were they doing? They were just pacing back and forth, right? Trying to talk themselves into jumping off the cliff, right? And we're out in the boat and it's hot, so we're trying to coach them to jump too. And so my daughter's up there and she's trying to figure out, is this something I really want to do? And finally, she just got up to the edge and she jumped off. And she hit the water and she went down, and when she came up, she just had this huge grin on her face, right? And what do you think she wanted to do? Do it again. And again, and again, and again. And see, for some of you, you've been coming here weeks, maybe months, maybe today's your first time. And you're kind of standing on the ledge of this thing and it feels scary. Maybe you've been hurt before. Maybe you've been disappointed before. Maybe you haven't found the right fit and you're not sure you want to take the plunge into community. And I promise you, if you'll just jump, if you'll just jump, it'll be the most life-giving, thrilling experience you have in your life. You will find more joy and more of Jesus in your life if you'll just take the plunge. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you that you have taken the plunge for us. Man, you jumped off the cliff of our sin, taking upon yourself our punishment, our wrath, to restore us, to bring us back into community with your Father and with each other. Lord, I pray that we would be a church, a community that values relationships, that we understand the messy, the hard, the frustrating side of it, and we would stay after it, also knowing that it's worth it, that there's joy and life that can come when we're connected to each other and you're at the center of our relationships. And I pray for those that are in here today that maybe they're trying to go at life alone. Maybe they haven't taken that jump. Would you even now, would you begin to stir in their heart, give them the confidence and the courage to just jump out and trust you, that you have so much more for them and their relationship with you. And you want to bring that to them and through them in this thing called community. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.